at the Moedim. My dad taught me Hebrew. Moedim is an appointed time when something's to happen, whether we think it's supposed to happen or not. This was one of Dad's last two paintings. And I'm going to get out from in front of that monitor, Jason. Don't worry. It's my problem. And that is a picture that Dad did of the Abrahamic covenant. Isn't that an odd thing for someone to paint? And look at the little person there. Did anybody see the person? And the person is there holding the hand of another little person. And I never discussed this with Dad. He couldn't hardly talk about it. He loved the painting so much. And I think the little person there was Daddy. I think it was him, and that was God carrying him maybe into heaven. But what that is a picture of what we're going to read about today. So the question today is, are we under the law? When Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, okay? And I've got to get up here. I'm sorry, Jason, I don't know what to do. I'm good. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So what commandments was he talking about? Maybe we could, Larry, you could creep up and turn off maybe all the mics but yours. Or
he just needs to take yours down a notch.
Oh, okay. So what was he talking about? So today, we're going to continue in Galatians chapter 3. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know it starts off, oh, foolish Galatians. And last week when I talked, I said, are you guys under a spell? Are you bewitched? Remember? And we talked about even in the midst of COVID and riots and people pulling down statues, don't be deceived. God is still in control. He's still on his throne. He's letting mankind do mankind's crazy stuff, right? But don't be bewitched and don't fall under any kind of law. And Paul was concerned because there were those that came behind him after he had spread the gospel, Mike, that said, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to become a Jew. And Audrey, if you're not, then you're out of here. And Paul comes along and says, you foolish Galatians, don't be bewitched. It's Jesus and him alone. It's Christ plus nothing equals everything. And that's the theme of the book of Galatians. Stand with me if you're able, and let's read this. This is the beginning. I won't make you stand through all the rest of the chapter. Read with me. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. May God bless the reading of his word. Y'all can be seated. So what we find in, we're going to talk today about covenants, and it's kind of a weird discussion. It's a little bit creepy in a way how they made blood covenants, and I mentioned that last week. And first off, what is a covenant? See, oh, there's the three covenants for the day. Abrahamic covenant, Mosaic covenant, and the new covenant. And some of y'all have never heard this, and it's really important. And Becca, it explains why we don't have to sacrifice animals. It explains why it's okay, Sandra, for you to sew one kind of thread into another kind of cloth, and why we don't follow these weird Levitical laws that you read. And we're going to look at those, the purpose of those laws, and Paul talks about it. So first off, a covenant is a promise. That's all it is. Two parties covenant. When Sandy and I got married, we covenanted to a series of things, promises that we made to one another, okay? Secondly, how is it made in ancient times, kind of creepy, is, Frank, you would make a promise, say, to me, if we were in business together. I would make a promise to you. Then we would sacrifice a couple of animals. We would actually kill them and cut them in two. And then you and I would walk through these animals. Isn't that weird? To bond this covenant. That was cutting a deal. They cut a deal. And what would happen is Frank and I would be saying, should either of us not do what we said we would do, that is what will happen to us. Okay, that's what a blood covenant is. Isn't that interesting? And so having known that, what happens now, if you go back and look at Genesis 15, Daryl, you see where God made a covenant with Abraham. And what happened is fascinating. It goes back to why my dad felt motivated to paint that picture that he painted. And so this character, this being shows up and talks to Abraham. If you go to Genesis 15 and look, and tells Abraham all of these things about how God is going to bless Abraham. And then the scripture says this. He, this person, this being, took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And look at this. Abram believed the Lord, and he, God, credited to him, Abraham, as righteousness. That is how we are heirs of Abraham. The standard for God's righteousness has always been our belief and trust in him. Now, it's tricky because you can say, well, I believe that God exists. That's not believing in him. Do you understand? So then this making of the Abraham covenant happens. Look, and Abram brought all of these to him, cut them in two, these animals, Frank, that you and I are going to do for our deal, and arranged the halves opposite each other, and the birds, however, he did not cut in half. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. See, Abraham's off running these vultures off, these buzzards. And as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came upon him. Okay? 17. And when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch, remember Dad's picture? That was the smoking fire pot, appeared and passed between the pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Interesting, it doesn't say that Abraham made a covenant to the Lord. One party showed up. Dad said, God put Abraham under anesthesia. And he was under anesthesia. Daddy was a doctor. And he said he was under that level of anesthesia where he couldn't do anything, but he knew what was going on. Okay? And at that point, Abram watched as this thing that appeared as a torch, the Holy Spirit of God, passed through these carcasses, and God made a promise to Abraham. And the promise he made is, if you have faith in me and you believe in me, you're mine forever.
Amen.
And we are inheritors of that promise. That, guys, is the Abrahamic covenant. Do y'all understand that? That's 2000 BC, for those who like history. We talked a little bit about belief. Belief is way more than just mentally agreeing that God exists. Look in James what the brother of Jesus says. You believe in God? You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe that and they tremble. So just believing that God exists is not the test. To believe in means to trust in, rely on, have faith in, okay? Submitting to, trusting in him and submitting to him. And I think more than anything, Laurie, it's believing God is who he says he is, that he will do what he says he'll do, and you live your life like you believe that. Amen? But it's believing in him, trusting in him. That is the Abrahamic covenant. Now, the Mosaic covenant, Paul discusses next. In 10 through 14 here, Paul talks about not the Abrahamic covenant, but the Mosaic covenant that came in 1000 BC. So there, Gary, at the foot of Sinai, God gave these people, Jimmy and Peggy, this whole list of rules and regulations that they had to do, early Mar, in order to really live a right life. And some began to trust in those works and forget about the belief part under Abraham and thought, well, if I sacrifice enough animals or I do this kind of thing, then somehow I have earned God's favor. And that's where it got wacky. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. So if you're relying on these works, Paul's saying, you're cursed because you're going to get judged by the rules that you put your faith in. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. He's quoting, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God because the righteous will live by faith. And Paul quotes Habakkuk there. You can look that up. The law, and these things in here are my parentheses to explain, the Mosaic law is not based on faith. Do y'all see the difference? On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us. That means he bought us from that curse of that law by becoming a curse written for us. And we all know, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. Okay? So that's what Scripture tells us. Christ redeemed us. So cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He was talking about Jesus going to the cross. These are ancient prophecies that became fulfilled. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham, that blessing is belief being credited because of righteousness, might come to the Gentiles. Any Gentile in here, raise your hand. I don't see a Jew in here. Everybody better raise their hand, okay? I don't see many Mr. Levy out here, okay? All right. Might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Isn't this a powerful, strong passage? And these are the kind of passages we read and we think, what is Paul talking about? It's so difficult to understand him. Even Peter later in his letter says, man, sometimes you read Paul and it's hard to understand him. So if it's hard for Peter, St. Peter the disciple, it's going to be hard for Sandy and me, okay? And that's why we dissect it, Gary, and we understand it now. Now we know it. We are inheritors through the covenant of Abraham. We didn't have anything to do with the Mosaic Law. As a matter of fact, the Mosaic Law was struck down. Do y'all know when it was struck down? On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Take and drink, okay? This bread is my body. Take and eat. Jesus was at that moment replacing the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic covenant went out the window. Do y'all understand? So we still have the Abrahamic covenant and we have the new covenant in Christ's blood. So those are the three covenants today. Do y'all get it? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? It is interesting, and it's God's word, and we need to understand it lest we think we can somehow earn our favor or righteousness before God by doing some list of, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do. That will not get you to heaven. All right, Laurie, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that's where that painting is to me, because when Christ said the curtain was going to be ripped that separated the Jews from God
so
in the temple.
A curtain in the painting.
Yes, I saw a curtain that was pulled back with Jesus taking someone's hand and walking through that.
Dad was a little frustrating because he did these abstract paintings, and I would say, well, what is that? And he goes, well, whatever you want it to be. But yeah, it looks like a veil, but it really is that torch going, and we'll look at it again. So anyway, what happens is in time, that Mosaic Law that doesn't apply to us doesn't apply to the Jews anymore either. And the prophets Ezekiel and Jeremiah talked about it. And here's how they talked about it. And I will give you a new heart. This is God speaking to his people. And a new spirit. What is the spirit? The Holy Spirit. And I will put within you the spirit, okay? And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Amen? We don't have hearts of stone, y'all. We have hearts of flesh. And when we are responsive to the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us and he tells us the things that we ought to do and the things we ought not to do. Maybe I'm not supposed to smoke and chew, but it's the Holy Spirit that tells us those things, right? And go with girls that do. I can't do that. I'm in a covenant relationship with this girl. Jeremiah 31:33, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Whoa. In those days were 2,000 years ago when Jesus came to the cross. I will put my law within them. Did you know you each in here, if you have come to the Lord Jesus and you have the gift of the Holy Spirit in you, you have the law of God in your heart.
Amen.
And I can go do something and I think, man, I need to talk to Devin about whether I should be doing this or not. Maybe if I'm questioning, I ought not to be doing it anyway. If I got to go ask Devin or Judy.
Right.
Declares the Lord, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts and I will be their God and they shall be my people. So, if we are no longer under all of these commandments, when Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What are the commandments of Jesus? Isn't that a legitimate question? Sorry, y'all, I'm a lawyer. So I think of these things like a jury argument.
Sermon on the Mount.
I looked up and I found a website with 49 commandments that Jesus makes on us. I think there's a bunch more. I think what he's saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, means you'll keep what I've taught you in the entirety of my life. But I've put together 12 for you this morning, 13, and the last two go straight to what Doug Taylor talked about this morning about fear not. That's a command. Jesus says, fear not. Don't fear COVID. Don't fear anarchy, don't fear chaos, don't fear government you can't trust. There is no room for fear in the heart of a believer. Y'all have heard me say that. You have heard me live it. I have never looked cancer in the face, but when I do, I hope I'll say, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you, help you, uphold you with my right hand. Okay? Those are promises made by a living God. I choose to follow him and believe that he's good. Amen. You see? Number one, love God above all else. That's just Faber's reduction of that whole thing. They came to Jesus, a wonderful guy, probably one of the best guys in the Bible, a lawyer. You're supposed to laugh. Came to Jesus and he tried to trip him up and say, which of those is the best one? Which one's the really important one? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And with, all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. What does it mean to love? I've told you all this. What is God's definition of love? I'm going to go ahead a slide. There it is. Love is ahava. What does ahava mean? Why would Pastor Faber put ahava up there? You're going to learn something today you never learned. Your name's Carl, right? I'm sorry. Yeah. Is this your bride with you? Okay, you bet. That sounds pretty positive to me. You said, I promise to love you, cherish you, keep you, have you, hold you, when you made those promises to her. Obey. Love is a funny thing. I love to eat catfish, but that's a different kind of love than when I say to my wife, I love you. Carl, ahava, God's love, comes with the word inside of it, ahav, and that's to give. There's no godly love that happens without giving. Carl, your life with this bride has been a life of giving and giving and giving if you're walking according to the way God wants you to walk. Same with you, bride, to him. So you cannot, Aaron, love Stephanie without giving. It just doesn't mean giving you the stuff you want her to have. I'm talking about giving. Giving is near to the heart of God. Giving, true giving, is when you're giving, expecting nothing in return. That's agape, what it's called in Greek. It's when you make Frank a bunch of pickled okra just because he loves it or whatever it is Frank loves, and it irritates your hands and it bothers you, but you do it because you love him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sacrifice.
Sacrificial love. And so that's ahav, which is love. The same way, that same ahav is what we have to do to neighbors, Jesus says. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, ahava your neighbor as yourself. Agape your neighbor as yourself. That means love your neighbors, early Mar, expecting nothing in return. And it's hard. Some of y'all have come to me and said, I've done this and this and this and this for so-and-so. They didn't even say thank you. Well, you know what? They're rude, and they should have said thank you. But we can't do things waiting on people to say thank you. Amen?
Amen.
If you wait for people to be deserving for you to do things for them, you'll never do anything.
That's right.
Because none of us is very deserving of very much, right? And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I wanted to tell you all this, loving with your heart, soul, and mind. Think about what that means. Your heart is your emotions. You give God all your emotions. You say, Lord, I'm really mad, and I want to honk at this person or shoot him that just cut in front of me. Some of y'all that lived in Houston, that was y'all's experience, okay, or Dallas. And God's saying, give that emotion to me. Give it. Ahav that emotion to me. You give him all of your heart. You give him your soul. Your soul is all the talents and treasure that you have. That's the part of you that's human that we relate to one another with. And give him all your mind. Give him your intellect. Say, God, I don't understand certain things. I'm going to give that to you. Okay? I'm going to give you that thing. We love our neighbors ourself. And I've already told you all the root word of ahava is ahav. The term means to give. True ahava, true love, is more concerned about giving than receiving. What did Jesus say? It is more blessed to what?
Yes.
Tend to receive. It's fun to receive stuff, isn't it? But man, when you start having a giving heart, there is no high like that. I mean, it is exciting. You do things and you think, you know what? I feel good. Well, of course you do. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. Of course you feel good. Blessed means happy, okay? He blesses you, makes you happy. Third, oh boy, this is a hard one. This is a hard one. When Sandy and I give marital advice to people, some of y'all have been married a while in here. Audrey and Mike, I bet y'all have been married maybe longer than Sandy and I. We've been married 42 years. 54. Okay, they're probably take the cake in here, all right? Listen, the way a marriage works, the way a friendship works, The way relationships work is when we exercise this. Sandy says to young couples, it is way easier to love somebody than to be kind to them. Because you get up and your feet are sore, and Audrey, your back hurts, and this is 54 years, guys. There's been a lot of kindness there, or they wouldn't be sitting here. Can you amen that from the background? Okay. Kindness. That's why he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Kindness takes a whole lot of forgiveness inside of it, or it doesn't work. You know, I'm not going to go into who does the most forgiving in our relationship. Probably.
It would not be prudent for us to ask.
Sandy said it would not be prudent for us to ask. All right, I agree.
I agree with Sandy.
So, being kind requires you forgive your brothers and sisters over and over again and again. Fourth, follow me. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The key is, in following him, is that Kelton, his agenda becomes your agenda. We really agendize our life. That means we get it all programmed out, and then, gee whiz, I don't want to be interrupted by God, okay? So we follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prompts us to do things, Lynn. That's really for us how you follow him, okay? You follow what he guides you to do. Sometimes Devin says, man, I just feel like I need to drop by. I said, go do it. Do what you feel inside of your heart, you know? Fifth, repent. Jesus says repent. Pastor Jack, who was here for umpteen years, however long that was anyone in here under Jack? You were, Sue. There's one member left of Jack. He told me one time, my favorite, he said, I have one message. Do you remember him saying this? I said, what's that, Jack? He said, you want the long version or you want the short version? I said, well, give me the short one. And he screamed repent at me. So you've heard that, hadn't you? So anyway, repent means you stop going in that direction and you start going in that direction. We can be sorry all the time. Man, I'm so sorry I yelled at my wife. But if I come back in and yell at her again, I hadn't repented. I'm just doing it again and again and again. All right? So we repent. That means we turn from one way and go back the other. Fifth, Jesus says, rejoice. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. But Pastor Faber, modern culture now is against what I believe. You know what? We've heard about this coming. Let's keep fast. Let's hold fast. Keep on doing what we're doing. Meet here. Praise the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? Keep on keeping on like Daniel did. When things got tough for Daniel, he just got on his knees. Okay? He got on his knees and he kept praising God and he prayed when he was supposed to pray. That's what the text tells us. Let's do the same. Rejoice, even in hardship. 7, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Guys, we need to do more light shining. Light shining comes when we get our agenda on the back burner and God's agenda on the front burner. And then we can begin shining and doing the things, Jimmy, that the Holy Spirit wants us to do in and through us and in the community around us. 8, do not lust. Everybody looks at all the men in the group. Lusting really means longing for something that's not yours. You're just hungry for it, okay? Yes, it can be sexual. It can also be for stuff. You lust after someone's stuff. You know, there's another word for that, but that's what it is. It's when you're letting the desires of your flesh control you. And Jesus said, don't let the desires of your flesh for whatever thing they want or person they want get in the way. Don't long for something that's not yours. 9, keep your word. You know, unfortunately, a lot of times when you preach this kind of stuff, the people that need to hear it aren't there. But we all need to learn to keep our word. Let what you say be, let it mean what you mean. Mean what you say and say what you mean. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
If you've been in business, Frank, Mike, Ron, for more than 20 years, I don't know who else has, how important is your word?
It's everything.
It means everything. Mean what you say and say what you mean, young people. Yes. Joey. I've been talking this to y'all. If y'all say, hey, I'm going to be there at 9 a.m., you be there at 9 a.m. And I had to learn. I had early in life that I just made too many promises. And I had to scale that back and go, you know what? And now I pull the Scott Brown. I think I can get it done on next Wednesday. But Scott says, you know, probably 2 Wednesdays from now, we're going to get close to seeing where the end is. That's a better way for you and to deal with other people, because Scott says we just, all of us are overly optimistic, you know. We want to do all this stuff. 10, go the second mile. What does that mean? Do a little more than you really want to. Just do a little more than you really want to. That's what going that second mile means. Sometimes I'm so tired and I come in and I'm not picking on my bride, but I'll be so tired and finally get my feet up because I've done all this stuff for other people. And she'll go, would you go out and close my chicken house? And I say, I sure will. That's going the second mile. Or she'll say,
I've learned that from you.
The same kind of thing from me. She's tired and worn out, and I'll come home and I'll go, hey, what's for dinner? She's thinking, well, I was kind of thinking we could have cheese and crackers tonight. And I think, well, I was wanting something a little more. Give me 20 minutes and I'll get you a hamburger patty or something made. Okay? That's going the second mile. 11, don't lay up treasures on earth. This isn't so much talking about money we try to put in the bank, but it's talking about if we have money in the bank, seeking God's kingdom and using things for His glory. Doesn't mean we can't buy ourselves nice stuff. But if all we have in our checking account or time account, time, talents, and treasures, that's what I always talk to y'all about. If it's all got me on the receiving end, then I got to do some rethinking, right? And that's what that means. Then he says, let not your heart be troubled. Fear not. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I'm here to tell you all this morning that God is still on His throne. I don't care if COVID-19, 20, 21, 22 come. Though a host of cancers should assail me. Though a host of illnesses should assail me, though all of contemporary society come against me, though the wrong candidate be elected, Jesus is still on the throne.
Amen.
Nobody is going to save us in Washington, D.C. We've learned that a long time ago. All right? So I'm here today, and I think it's an important thing for me as a pastor at this moment in time to give you hope, and I'm giving you real hope today.
That's what we need.
Worrying doesn't take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I was with a couple yesterday in this church, so worried about all these things. Just let today's problems be taken care of. Stop worrying about what's going to happen 6 months from now. Y'all hear what I'm saying? These are not my words. These are Jesus' words. He says, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. What he was saying is, the stuff that's tearing you down today, just work on it. And tomorrow will be a new day. Mama used to say, tomorrow's going to be a new day. Tomorrow day, she'd say. Tomorrow day, we'll worry about that.
Tomorrow day.
Worrying doesn't take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away your peace. The phrase, and this is what I end with today, do not be afraid, is written 365 days in the Bible.
Maybe one time for every day. Huh?
Maybe. Hello. How loudly does God have to tell us something? What He tells us in seeing this is several things that I've thought about. Number one is, you're going to have some fear every day. It might be a little niggling fear, but some fear every day is going to want to come in and take your peace. You say, I will not fear what man can do to me. All right? Fear thou not, for thou art with me. Okay, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You claim the promises of God, and it gives you testimonies of Him in your life, okay? That's a reminder. So daily we're going to have problems daily. You're going to have the desire to be afraid. And as I've said, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear says, they're going to come eat me up. And faith says, my God's bigger than that. My God is sovereign. He's in control of my life. He has a future for me. He has a purpose, a place for me, a purpose, a place, and a what do I always say? Come on, y'all. I've been preaching this 5 years now. He has a purpose and a place for you. Live every day being fearless. That's what I want to communicate to y'all today. I'm wearing a mask today not because I'm afraid of COVID. I'm not afraid of COVID. I'm wearing a mask today because I love Doug Taylor.
Amen.
And somebody, and I love Jana Villarreal. I love people who might have a little, or I love Ron and Sandra. we were together this week, and I showed up at your house and knocked with a mask because I love you. I'm not afraid of you or COVID. I love my neighbors. I love myself. I give something that just doesn't even matter, right? And so today, the message I want you to leave is we are inheritors of the Abrahamic covenant. We are no longer under Mosaic law. We have a new covenant in Jesus' blood. He has many commandments, and it's basically following him and his teaching. And I've given you 13 things today, and the big one I want you to walk out of the door with was Jesus says, fear not. And I think of Isaiah saying, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. My mama taught me this, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Thank you, mama, for putting the word of God into my heart today. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that today we will take hold of your commandments. You say, Lord, you're here right now. And you say, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, Lord, we long to keep them. I pray that we'll all come clean with you today and say a prayer in our hearts. Lord, just take what I've done. Lord, I ask you to forgive it. And, Lord, guide me afresh and anew to get outside of myself. Lord, I don't have much time left on this earth. So let it be used to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jason's going to put on some music for us now. Or if that's a problem, then Larry can sing us something. Oh, he's got it. And we're going to sit and just pray for a minute. And we're not going to pass the plate. We're not doing that now. But we have a bread box in the back, okay? That's what you put the bread in.